This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى the most high says ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. He said سبحانه وتعالى that among his signs that he had created for you from you mates that you could find comfort in, harmony with. And he had instilled between you mawadda and rahmah, love and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for those who contemplate and ponder. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla is counting that union between male and female as a sign of many of his signs, that when you look at it and you ponder it and you examine it, it will increase your iman, increase your knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla is there. Because in that, Allah brings totally perfect strangers and He unites them with so many attractions. There is the physical attraction, but this is how it starts. But there is that emotional attraction. There is rational, intellectual attraction. And He brings them together. And when they are together, they find, first of all, that harmony and peace in each other's company. Without that company, there always will be agitated. There always will be in search, lacking that peace. But when they find that mate, they find that tranquility. And then Allah said that you will also find between them mawadda and rahma. And who had placed that between them is Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah had put between them love and mercy. And they become so close until they become the closest human beings, even closer than the relationship that they had with their parents before. Allah is saying, this is a great ayah. And it's also a great ni'mah, because Allah Azza wa Jalla had provided you with that type of companionship that is without, you will always remain empty and feeling that void inside until you find that other person. And if it is a ni'mah, it has to be protected and thanked. And any ni'mah that is not protected and is not thanked goes away. Any ni'mah, any blessing, any good thing in life that you have, if you don't protect it, what happens to it? You will lose it. And if you don't thank Allah Azza wa Jal for it and admit that it is from Him, what happens to it? It will also be lost. And if it's a ni'mah that Allah loves, then the opposite, the shaitan, hates. And if the shaitan hates it, he will do his best to try to break up the couple. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us exactly that. He said, إِنَّ إِبْلِيسَ يَضَعُ عَرْشَهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. He says, Iblis establishes his throne on water. ثُمَّ يَبُثُّ سَرَيَاهُ. Then he sends his shayateen, the helpers and those who are under his service, the jinn, to see who can cause the greatest corruption. فَأَعْظَمُهُمْ عِنْدَهُ مَنْزِلَ وَأَدْنَاهُمْ إِلَيْهِ أَعْظَمُهُمْ فِتْنَةً. The one who will sit closest to Iblis, be honored the most, and celebrated the most, is the one who will cause the greatest fitna. So I want you to imagine that this is something that actually happens. Iblis sits on his throne and he tells to his shayateen, go and spread as much corruption and mayhem as you can. And then come back and report to me. So someone will come and will say, I did this and that. And he will say, you did nothing. Until somebody comes and he says, مَا تَرَكْتُهُ. I did not leave him. حَتَّى فَرَّقْتُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ زَوْجِهِ. Until I've separated between him and his spouse. And he says, نِعْمَ أَنْتَ. He says, you're the one. and he brings him close. That is, Iblis considers that the greatest fitna that he could cause is this separation and divorce between man and woman. Because he understands the magnitude of that ni'mah, and that if he takes it away, the harm that he could cause, the harm that will touch the man, the woman, and the children. After that mawadda and rahma, that peace, that love, that mercy that was between those two, it turns into enmity and friction and hatred and gossip and backbiting. And then that opens the door for the haram. Because when you complicate the halal, what happens? When you close that door, what happens? The haram is wide open. And then add to it the suffering of the children. The suffering of the children. If it is hard enough in today's world to raise children with a two-parent household, imagine raising these children when you are a single parent. When you have to divide your time between earning a living and taking care of your children. On your own, I'm telling you, it's an uphill battle. And maybe if you're widowed and you ask Allah Azza wa Jal for support, Allah will support you. Because had it come from Allah Azza wa Jal, you had no hand in creating this issue. But if you create that issue unjustly, without looking at what happens to the children, I'm telling you, it's an uphill battle. And it's a losing battle. You will not be able to take care of those children. Even with that other spouse by your side, it's really difficult. On your own, it's almost impossible. So the shaitan is involved trying to ruin your relationship. And you have to be aware of that. To the extent of what? You may not be aware of this hadith, subhanAllah. But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَعْمَدُ إِلَىٰ فِرَاشِ أَحَدِكُمْ بَعْدَ أَنْ هَيَّأَهُ لَهُ أَهْلُهُ. He says, the shaitan will head to your bed after your spouse, after your wife had cleaned it and arranged it and made it beautiful. فَيَضَعُ فِيهِ الْحَجَرَ وَالْعُودَ أَوْ شَيْئًا مِمَّا يَكْرَهُ حَتَّى يُغْضِبَهُ. So the shaitan will place a small rock or a small straw or anything that will upset you to make you upset. So he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, فَإِذَا رَأَى شَيْئًا مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِمْ. He says, if you see something like that, don't be upset with them. Why? Because it's the shaitan who placed it there. So you may not be aware of the fact that you may find something at home, missing, not in order, not in place, the food is not exactly right, and you'd be upset with her. You did this, you did not do that. But who is involved trying to set you against each other? It is the shaitan. So if the shaitan is fighting to ruin this ni'mah, you have to fight back to preserve it. And not only do you have to fight against the actual shaitan, they're among the ins, people, those who are act like they are shayateen. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ خَبَّبَ امْرَأَةً عَلَى زَوْجِهَا. He said, he's not one of us, the one who ruins a woman, turns her against her husband. He's not one of us. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in that hadith, that there are people who will do that takhbib. That they will come to the woman, and they will come to the man. And they are in a good relationship. They're happy with each other. But they'll start saying what, to her and to him, what, your husband doesn't do this to you or that to you? What, your wife does not cook that for you and this to you? And they're happy with each other. But this third person comes and they poison that relationship until they separate. And that is a takhbib. They turn to now, they look at their husband and they said, now I can see all of his flaws. Why? Because somebody pointed all of that to me. Now I can see that she's not good enough. Why? Because somebody pointed all that to me. And otherwise they are happy. But they do the work of the shaytan. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. When Allah talked about the evil that the shayateen were doing, and those who were learning from them, the magic that they were learning from them, that they attributed to Sulaiman alayhi salam, but he's innocent of that. And he says, what part of that corruption that they do, they learn from them, by that by which they can separate the husband from his wife. So that is a great corruption in the eye of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَبْغَضَ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. He says that the halal that Allah dislikes the most is divorce. And of course, it does and it can treat certain problems. Divorce can do that, and that's why it's allowed. But divorce at the rate that we see right now, divorce as an easy fix, at the first sign of trouble, divorce as a belief that I'm better off alone. And we talked about that there are people who do that takhbib, that ruining of relationships. In fact, a global entire culture is fighting against you today. Because the global entire modern culture says, well, it devalues marriage. And devalues the work of the husband inside the house. And devalues the work of the wife inside the house. The work of the mother is the least in their eyes. And they tell her what? Are you simply going to be a housewife? Are you simply going to take care of your children? Go and find yourself somewhere else. So societies suffer because of that. And dwindling populations are only the first sign among many signs that this type of ideology and thinking is detrimental to society. When you destroy the family, and I want you to think about it, when you destroy the family is the nucleus of society, the building block of society. The family is what produces the next generation, where they're telling a female, a mother, a wife, that your work at home is of no importance. You have to completely disbelieve all of this. Because there's nothing more important than a woman can do than raising the next generation. Anybody can work outside the house. It's not a big deal. Anybody can find a job. Anybody can get an education. Look how many people do that. But how do you preserve the next generation? How do you save them from themselves and the shaitan? From waywardness, from sin, from addiction, from alcohol, from drugs, from bad company. How do you save them? These early years, when they're still growing and absorbing everything around them, these are the fundamental formative years. And there is nothing more important than you saving the next generation. But they devalue all of that. And they tell the husband, well, it's not your responsibility. Go out with your friends. Go out and have fun. Leave it all to her. And they tell her, well, it's not your responsibility. Go find yourself. And more importantly, they create friction between husband and wife. Now ask yourself, the relationship between male and female in Islam is based on what? Conflict? We're there to complement each other. Isn't this what Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the ayah that I recorded? We are there to comfort each other, to help each other, not to fight each other. But relationships in Western civilization and that civilization that had made that belief now global, so you find it everywhere, is it's based on confrontation. Men and women are enemies. And people enter as a couple in a relationship thinking that she is an enemy of mine. And more importantly, she thinking that he's an enemy of mine. And anything that he says is attributed as he's trying to control me and limit me and do this and do that to me. So already there are some ill feelings. So the husband doesn't feel comfortable with the wife and the wife does not feel comfortable with the husband. And both of them are not available for the children. And that is the ruin of that relationship. But that's not how we're supposed to be. And Rasulullah Allah Azza wa Jalla, before we go into the hadith, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Give them good company. Keep good company of your wives. فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. It says, keep good company. And if you happen to hate them, perhaps you may hate something and Allah puts a lot of good in it. Meaning here Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that yes, you may not like everything about your wife. That could be true. But be patient with them. Because perhaps you may hate something, yet Allah Azza wa Jalla deposits a lot of good in it immediately and eventually. She is still the mother of your children. She could take care of you later. That thing that you hate could be minimized later in your eye and you discover a lot of better things that you did not see. But he said, be patient and don't rush and say, I don't like her anymore. I want somebody else. And the same thing goes to the wife. Don't look at him and you say immediately, this and that are wrong with him, and think he's beyond reform. Be patient. Don't rush to divorce. Don't give up on him as he shouldn't be giving up on you. And maybe this little thing can be fixed. And if not, maybe you hate it, but Allah Azza wa Jal could give you through that person things that will be better, much better than the things that you hate. And in order to maintain that justice, he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة. A believing man does not hate a believing woman. إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. A believing man does not hate a believing woman. If he hates one thing about her, he's satisfied with something else. No one is perfect. So maybe you're looking at something and you're magnifying that thing until it becomes everything. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, look at the other side as well. Maybe she is sawwama, qawwama. Maybe she is obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe there's something good in her. Maybe something can be salvaged. And as you would like to treat her, she will treat you. But avoid comparisons, especially in an age of social media. Avoid comparisons. You could be perfectly satisfied with your wife until you start comparing her to somebody else. Online or looking around. Oh, now she's not as beautiful. Now she is not as this and not as that. And now you dislike her. And the same thing with the wife. He's fine until you start comparing him to somebody else. And that comparison is always, or let's say most of the time, is false. Because the image that you see, especially through social media, is manufactured. And you know that. You know that the persona that you present on social media, we, ourselves, our persona on social media is not related to our own personality. They're very different. So looking at someone through social media and thinking that that's how they are, you're being lied to and you're accepting that lie. And no one could live to those expectations. So my advice really for those who are on social media, only follow those who will benefit you in the dunya and in the akhirah, and otherwise quit social media. Don't spend your time on it. It's wasteful and it's poisonous. So here we are required to have justice in how we treat each other. And if you want justice with them, you also have to. If you want them to treat you with justice, you also have to be just with them. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفر. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. So we are really in a state of jihad to preserve the family. This is a jihad with the self, jihad against the shaitan. So how do we protect our families? How do we protect our marriage? Few points inshallah just to keep in mind and kind of implement. First of all, if we know that this is a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal, thank Allah for it. Before you get married, if you are not already married, pick the right mate. Fathfar bi dhati ad-deen. Look for that one that is religious, who loves Allah, loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wants to build a family that is obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, and a family that wants to be in heaven. And a woman also, and when you're choosing your man as well, man or woman who are religious and they have good character. Their akhlaq are good. So that's one. And make dua for that. And even if you're married, don't give up and say, I already made that choice. Because that person that you chose can change. And they can change for the best or the worst. They could go either way. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Part of the dua of the righteous in the Quran is that, Ya Allah, grant us from our progeny, children, and our spouses what will be pleasing to our eyes, and make us role models for the righteous. It's not just fix them. It's, Ya Allah, Azza wa Jal, make them the best that they could be, and me as well. Because if you are not as good, then you're not deserving that good from them as well. If you do not exhibit righteousness, how could they be righteous? You're driving them in the wrong direction. So yes, Ya Allah, make me an example for the righteous, a role model. And fix my family for me, fix my children for me, fix my spouse for me, and make this a constant dua. That's one. Second of all, shield your family from the shaitan. If the shaitan is attacking you, and he's definitely attacking you. So where is your ibadah inside the house? Because you want to make your house a fortress that the shaitan cannot penetrate. So do you read Quran or not? And especially if you're going through trouble with your family, I would recommend a repetitive reading of Surah Al-Baqarah. Keep reading it, day after day. And after you finish it, start that again and start that again. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that it expels the shaitan and brings barakah in the house. So keep reading Surah Al-Baqarah. And then also your dhikr inside the house, your salah, and staying away from haram. Because each haram act is an invitation. Imagine if you want, when you want to enter the house and you forget to mention Allah's name, the shaitan enters with you. Right? Imagine if you commit a sin. Isn't that an invitation? So minimize sin inside your house. Please Allah Azza wa Jal and obey Him. And your house will become bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal a fortress against the shaitan. Add to that, justice in treatment. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ They have rights similar to the responsibilities that they have. So if you want, and I'm talking to both male and female, if you want them to be the best, you should be the best. And they will always be only be able to give you as much as you're giving them. And it's unjust. There is dhulm that I want everything from them, but I'm not willing to give. That is dhulm. And also understand that your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal is also conditional on how you are with your mate. It's not simply how much I pray and fast and make dua. But how am I to my husband? How am I to my wife? That is part of your character and part of your taqwa. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, in when He talks about dealing between husband and wife, He makes that reminder. He makes that reminder. So for instance, I'm trying to remember the ayah here where Allah Azza wa Jal says that when if you divorce a female and you already had set a mahr for her, but you were not intimate with her. فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ So you're not intimate with her, you did not get to sleep with her, but you already had set a mahr. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says she deserves half of the mahr that can be set. إِلَّا يَعْفُونَ أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَنْسَوُوا الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ He says, then she deserves half of the mahr, unless she forgives it, or you forgive it. Meaning she says, yes, I deserve half, but I don't want anything from you. It's forgiven. Or you say, yes, you only deserve half, but I will give you all. Though you don't have to. And Allah says what? And that you forgive your right is closer to taqwa. And don't forget to be generous with each other. This is when you're divorcing, when you're separating, don't exhibit the worst of you, but the best of you. Forgive, because Allah says that is what taqwa is. And remember to be generous with each other. And if there's a conflict between you, remember always, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ Reconciliation is better. Always is better. And also he said, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ He says, while reconciliation is better, remember that stinginess is always present in all of us. So I don't want to give anything, but I want everything. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, fight that in you. Fight that in you. Don't be stingy with your rights. Don't be stingy with her rights, but rather give freely, because this is what Allah Azza wa Jal loves. So yes, He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, khayrukum, khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahli. He says, the best of you is the best to his wife, and I am the best to my wife. So if you want to be best, show this in how you treat your wife. And He said also, alayhi salatu wassalam, istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Take good care of women, فإنهن خلقن من ضلع وإن أعوج شيء في الضلع أعلاه فإن ذهبت تقيمه كسرته فاستوصوا بالنساء خيرا. He said, take good care of women, for a female is created from a rib, and the most bent part of the rib is the top. So if you want to straighten it, you're going to break it. So take good care of women. And by that he means, عليه الصلاة والسلام, is that she's not going to be exactly like you. The way that you act, the way that you see things probably is straight, A to B. A female is not structured like that. So if you want her to be exactly like you, to think exactly like you, if you want to bend her so much that she is like you, you'll break her. And he says, don't break her. But rather what? Take good care of her. Comfort her. Cushion her. Protect her. That's what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. On the other end also, he said to the females, he says, أيما امرأة سألت زوجها الطلاق من غير ما بأس فحرام عليها رائحة الجنة. He says, whatever female asks her husband for divorce without the harm that had fallen on her, it is haram for her to smell the fragrance of Jannah. Which means that that request is a major sin. Now, of course, every female who's going through something will say, of course, I've received enough harm to justify asking for divorce. But that is really a subjective answer. If you want to know whether you qualify for that, ask a person of knowledge whether this is legitimate or not. Otherwise, it's haram because Allah Azza wa Jal and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they want you to continue and persist as long as that is possible, and don't listen to the whispers of the shaitan. And the last thing, inshallah, that I say is what? Avoid arguments unnecessarily. Don't argue over everything. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ بِرَبَضِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُحِقَّةً. He says, I guarantee a house in Jannah for one who leaves arguing, even if he's right. Even if she's right. We sometimes argue about insignificant, nonsensical things, and they become something out of nothing. Yet here, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, you're right, but you realize that this argument leads to nothing. So you stop arguing for the sake of whom? Allah Azza wa Jal. And you defeat your own ego, the desire to be right all the time and to prove the other person wrong. He says, if you do that, and that is your trait, that is your quality, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had promised you a house in Jannah because it is jihad. So here we're asking our brothers, our sisters who are yet to get married, those who are married, those who are happy, those who are having some trouble, remember that this is a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal. Thank Him for it, preserve it, and do your best to please Allah Azza wa Jal through that union. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to bless our families and protect them from the shaitan. Ya Allah, grant us the best of mates in the dunya and the akhirah. Ya Allah, grant us the best of children and help us to raise them well, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, make our families pleasing to You. Make our children pleasing to You, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Make us the best of husbands and the best of wives and the best of children and the best of parents, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask You for all the good in this life and in the hereafter. And protect us from all evil and harm in this life and in the hereafter. Ya Allah, revive our hearts with iman, revive our hearts with taqwa, revive our bodies with taqwa, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Bring us closer to You, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Do not make us of those who are distant and away from You, of those whose hearts have died and have hardened, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وأقم الصلاة